I'll say from 2011 till 2015, I have not seen a single month where my account will have more than 1,000 rupees. And I believe those hard days have made us to learn how to run a company in an optimized way. Unlike a lot of other companies, today we are running a brand which is grossing 100 crore revenue annually.
Welcome to episode 2, season 1 of Millionaire Mondays, the show where we bring you the stories of real Indian startups told by the entrepreneurs that built them. I'm Caleb Friesen, and on the show today, how an Indian entrepreneur who had never tasted a burger in his life before 2010 ended up building a 100-plus location homegrown burger QSR chain called Biggie's Burger. For the most part, the QSR market in India is segmented. Indian companies sell Indian food, and American companies sell American food, usually with a desi twist. Take, for example, KFC. Colonel Sanders in India is actually Indian. Domino's sells tandoori paneer pizzas, and Starbucks sells masala chai, not chai tea lattes. And the reason why all of these American companies are bending over backwards to sell FMB to Indian consumers is that the market opportunity is massive. India's QSR space is expected to grow by nearly 2x by 2028, hitting $32 billion. But here's the thing, a massive chunk of this market is actually going into American companies' pockets, more than 50% actually. As of 2020, more than 53% of India's QSR market was dominated by the Big Five: Domino's, McDonald's, KFC, Subway, and Burger King. Clearly, Indians love American fast food, which is no surprise, the rest of the world does too, but why aren't Indians selling American fast food to Indians? Well, my guest today, Biraja Raut, asked himself the same question in 2011, and when he couldn't find a suitable answer, he decided to do it himself, establishing Biggie's Burger in 2011, and today, Biggie's is a very successful Indian restaurant chain selling American fast food burgers to Indians, and they have ambitions to reach FY24 revenue of 100 crore rupees. But when Biraja started Biggie's in a 5x5-foot booth in Electronic City, he had virtually no business experience. He didn't go to an IIT or IIM. He didn't come from a business family. In fact, Biraja was just a regular guy from a working-class family in Bhubaneswar, Odisha. He got into business mainly to elevate the status of his family back home.
My primary agenda was to convert our working-class family to a business family.
Was that something instilled in you by your parents, or you took that on yourself?
Primarily when I was at the third year of my engineering, I was doing sponsorship of events. I used to get sponsors for our college events. And back then, I was monitoring a brand called Monginus. It's a very popular bakery brand of India back then. Today also they're doing good. So I was always looking at taking up a franchise rather going for an IT job at that point of time. So I have approached them. So unfortunately, I did not get a right location. Then I was forced to join Infosys as a trainee. And that instinct of or the basic goal was to start something on my own. But I did not have the understanding of how to start a business because in the closest of my network, there was no one who was into business and into F&B. So F&B business was the farthest thing that I could have thought for. But I believe I got convinced about the concept of building a burger brand. And primarily, let's say till 21 or 22 years of age, if you have not tried something authentic and you feel like you have tried everything, right? And then you try something, then you get, what is this? You have to do a complete reiki of the concept of the product. And from that point, I believe I was too convinced about burger as a product, and I feel I'm too lucky to have chosen that product.
How did you go about choosing that product? Because you're from Bhubaneswar,
right,
which is not a city known for its burgers.
Right.
What is Bhubaneswar known for?
Bhubaneswar is the temple city of India.
Okay.
When it comes to food, so Oriya cuisine, we have dahi vadas, that is very popular there. We have rice, pakhala bhatu bolte, like that's a rice-related product. It's mostly related to seafood and river food. So burger has no connection. MACD came to Bhubaneswar last year.
For the first time?
For the first time.
So how did you hear about burgers then? Was it online? Or you tried one in person?
No, when I was in Infosys, Mysore, first training, 2010 March. And there I try, pizzas, everyone has tried. Domino's was there, so we have tried that. I thought, that's the end of the world. Like, we have tried most of the cuisine, and anything that comes is an extension. It cannot be a new surprise to you. When I tried the real burger, the grilled burgers in so-called burger place in Bangalore back then, There were a good amount of burger players in the central heart of the city. Then I was surprised. I thought this type of product also is there on the world. And back then, I just to remind you, the mayonnaise was never called as mayonnaise. It was called as a white sauce.
White sauce.
Yeah. So the awareness of the product was not much. And only metro cities like Bangalore, Bombay or Delhi were lucky to have this product. And that excited me. And if you see through the brands, let's say, may it be a pizza brand, may it be a burger brand or a fried chicken brand, everything is one of the US brands. So there was a conviction around the product. And there was a conviction that with this big population, with me, as I felt like me, there will be millions of consumers or a billion of consumers in India who have never been exposed to a global product like this. And why not to try our hands through burger?
Sure. But you're not at that point. You don't have the funds to necessarily go ahead and start this empire that at this point it seems like you're already starting to envision. You're just basically a fresher working at Infosys, right?
Right.
So how did you go about setting up your restaurant, your first sort of the first iteration of what would become Biggie's Burgers?
See, I believe conviction is something that you need to start something. No fund is enough or no fund is adequate. So I believe in Electronic City, when I started, I started with a very small capital and with a 5x5 kiosk where a single person can only enter at a time and only microwave can be there. So that gave me the design of the concept. So primarily, I never wanted to do a restaurant because I did not have the fund. And I was lucky not to do a restaurant because restaurants cannot be scaled the way QSRs can be scaled. So at that point of time, the only idea was to survive for tomorrow and get some good reviews or feedbacks from the customer. Those were the end of the day earnings. Those were our sweat income that I recall.
Almost like an MVP, right?
Yeah.
In the startup world.
True. Like a POC, proof of concept. So I believe I was lucky. That time I was feeling that why I don't have right fund. I have right support. I was lucky enough to do to go through all the hardship, which made me fine-tuned to understand what an F&B business is. And there was no precedent mindset of how I should start the burger chain or whether it will be a chain or not. So the only conviction, the only agenda was to survive this month, survive this day, survive this hour. Satisfy the customer who is coming, give them something differentiated from the current market, what they are doing. We have KFCs, we have MACDs. So why people will come to us when they are giving affordable burgers with amazing setups with AC, why someone will come and stand and have your burger? So there is where your brain gets into the product and you start doing something different to create that USP of your concept.
Yeah. So you said doing something different. What was that differentiation? Like, what was the product itself? And how did you actually go about researching how to create this this burger that you guys were selling?
So I believe back in 2011, when I started this concept, burger as a product was popularized by McDonald's or KFC with a Jingo Burger. Burger King back then was not there, or Wendy's was not there. And if you closely monitor, till 2019, Burger King and MACD and KFC had fried burgers. And as a person, I believed when I was eating fried burger, I'm eating carb below carb. And the meat portion is not even 20% as in those fried products. So the conviction of burger, if you go back to the history of burger in 1880s or 60s, it is a grilled meat with bread and no nonsense. So my first product that I started was called Beamer. I had to have a catchy name, just like a Burger King has a Hopper or a KFC has a Jenga. We need to have a hero product. So Beamer was something that was convinced with, because a beam on a structural element holds the house or structure horizontally. And burger Patty is a horizontal product. So I thought Beamer is the best fit. And that product is a pre-baked product, and we grill it at the end moment and serve. So I believe the first menu that I had back in 2011 had a single Beamer, double Beamer, triple Beamer. These were the three burgers.
With one, two, and three patties?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Single patty, two patty, three patties. And that was a single product which created a differentiation for the brand within the consumer at that point of time. I used to have people coming straight away from the gym. I used to have people very regular to Biggie's Burger at that point of time. And I believe because I wanted to do something different from MacD and KFC, when I introduced Beamer, a lot of people had a restriction to that product. But there were a set of people who were liking that product, and that was my award and that was my recognition. So, I think that was the first product, and this is how the journey has been from day one.
But you don't come from a family that makes food, right?
Yeah.
Or you weren't a cook yourself.
True.
So how did you actually come up with the ingredients, the sourcing, the actual what is it? The inventory, right? The buns, the burger itself. Maybe there's some sauce. Did you just go to the nearby grocery store and pick those things up and cook it yourself at home? Or like, what was the actual process of the logistics at that early stage?
So let's say I still remember the first day I have sold 18 to 20 burgers. At that point of time, the burger definition was coming from a patty. First of all, a burger is good or bad. That is defined through the patty first. Bread or sauces are basically the next steps. So for me, at that point of time, my focus was on making a differentiation in the patty. And at that point of time, the awareness of basic sauces were not so high in India. So mayonnaise was still playing the top role or the leading role when it comes to sauces. So being very honest, I have not done a lot of alteration. So I wanted my burgers to be barbecued, to be smoky, to give the real feel of authentic burgers the way in US or the real burgers are served. So the most consumed product was a smoky barbecue Beamer or a smoky barbecue burger. So in that, bread and sauces I used to procure locally from the supermarkets. But patty was something that I used to make in-house for the first 2 to 3 months until I reached a certain volume. I used to buy chicken, mincemeat, go through YouTube videos, do iterations of trial, try the patty, whether it is tasting good to me or not, whether to make it more juicy or not, whether to increase the meat content or not, whether to add more ginger or garlic into it or not. So I think the product R&D has happened in my kitchen, in my home. With some of my friends, I used to do the trials. And I felt today, given an opportunity, I would redo that, because that is where you give your 100% dedication to develop a product. And it is not developed through bigger processing units or testing labs. But however small your kitchen may be, but if you are giving your 100% dedication to a development of a product, I think that's where you get your USP.
Take me back to... By the way, we didn't mention this, but this was actually your first location was in Electronic City,
right,
which is also where you were working for Infosys.
It was bang opposite my office.
Yeah.
So I used to stay 50 feet from my shop. My office was opposite the road.
Did your boss know that you were doing this? Would you have been allowed to do this? It's kind of moonlighting, right, in a way.
It's kind of moonlighting, but what happens as a new employee, as a trainee, you used to get a good amount of free time. Post 6 o'clock, we had the whole evening. And that's the time when business happens. Saturday, Sundays are holidays. And as a 22, 21 years of, at that age, you have a lot of energy to devote somewhere. So I found watching movies or doing, that was not something I was so passionate about. So I thought this is something where I should devote my time to.
And you set up, it's basically like a little booth. I'm sort of imagining, correct me if I'm wrong here, but it's almost like those little huts that the people, like the banwalas, you know, like a tiny little outdoor fabricated booth. Is that kind of the, what I'm, like 5 by 5 feet kind of thing?
Yes, 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 absolutely. I'll say the pick of the first kiosk. It is 5 by 5 made out of your MS material. It is like a pan booth. And because of fund constraint, I had to choose that way. I got it from a scrap guy who was fabricating things. So I think at that point of time, this type of concepts were not very often. If you want to have a burger, you will have to go to a restaurant or a KFC or a MACD. So this was an unique concept and a trendy concept as well. And less budget on my pocket as well.
Sure.
The maintenance cost, the OPEX, the CAPEX, everything was low.
Yeah, tell me about the finances at that stage. So I don't know if you're comfortable saying like how much were you earning from Infosys, but like was this like a real, like was this a stretch for you to like get this thing set up, buy the ingredients, like, or were you kind of, you still had a little bit of money to play with after all of it was said and done? Or were you even taking on debt? Like, I don't know. Like, how are you doing there financially?
I'll say from 2011 till 2015, I have not seen a single month where post fifth, not even fifth, post second, my account will have more than 1,000 rupees. And so at that point of time, because you are not aware of what to do, where to put your money or accounting. So I believe as an entrepreneur, my primary role was product and proof of concept and the brand. So I was so finicky about product and brand building activity that I was not getting into the accounts.
The business took a back seat.
The business. So my focus was each and every touch point of a customer. How a customer sees us. What is the logo? What is the poster? How the menu looks like? How am I taking a review? How the social media handles are, or how the product is packed, or how the product is designed. So I was so involved into that though on Excel sheet, I was making money, but in real, I was not making money. I was burning money. And salary was a mere salary at that point of time. Infosys pays annually 3.6 to 4 lakhs rupees. So I was too lucky that one of my roommate, Subrat, he took a loan of 1.5 lakhs to support me because my CIBIL score back then was not doing great. I used to use credit card to buy lettuce from Namdhari Kormangla. So at that point of time, lettuce was not available all the places. So I used to come from Electronics City to Namdhari and lettuce prices were high back then. So I used to do a lot of transactions through credit card and CIBIL score issue. There is a saying like, if you want to do something, the whole ecosystem has to support you. And I was lucky that my friends, family, they have given me good support mentally and financially as well. So yeah, he's my first financier, Subrat, who gave me 1.5 lakh rupees to expand the business or to put the money into the business. Till 2016, till I formed the private limited, and I made finance out of my hands and gave it to my co-founder, I was burning.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sounds like a stressful time.
It was.
But also an exciting time.
See, Electronics City to Kormangla, there is an overbase of 11 kilometers, which ends at Silk Board. I remember at least 20 times my bike would have stopped because of low fuel. And that gives you the motivation or the, at that point of time, like it's, we have nothing to lose. We are already at the ground zero. What either will grow, will fly, or will be here. So the statement was very clear that we have gone so far that there is nothing looking back today. The only option was to fly high. And I believe those hard days have made us to learn how to run a company in an optimized way. And I believe, unlike a lot of other companies today, we are running a brand which is grossing 100 CR revenue annually with minimal amount of OPEX.
That early stage, I think the natural next step, if you were a business guy, which clearly you're more of a product guy, would have been to set up another small shop, right? A little stall, same thing, maybe also in Electronic City, maybe somewhere nearby. That's not what you did though. You sort of jumped the gun and took a step that most people wait until they have like 10, 20 restaurants within their city before they expand to another city and also another state. Your next location was in Bhubaneswar.
Right.
Through, correct me, right? It was your brother's friend?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was my brother's friend who trusted on the concept.
Wow. He trusted the concept, but you also had to put a lot of trust in him, right? I mean,
at that point of time, if someone was giving a little bit of trust, that was too much for us. Because I was also not very clear whether I'm doing the right way. I was convinced that whatever I'm doing 100% with my commitment and heart. But from an outsider perspective, someone was supporting a little bit or trusting a little bit, that was like a reward or a recognition to us. So yeah, he trusted. He told he also wants to. He was an engineering college back then. He wanted to invest on a small kiosk. And then at that point of time, being very honest, as I'm not from an MBA background or a business background, franchising was not very clear to me. What is franchising? I've only heard of franchising through Mongenis or through KFC or through McDonald's. But how it is done, what are the basic parameters of being a franchisor, what are the expectations out of a franchisee, those were not clear. The only agenda was, okay, fine, I need to expand. In my visiting card, today I'm writing Bangalore, I'll write Bhubaneswar tomorrow. Two cities, operating two stores in a city and operating two cities are two different game altogether. At some point of time, you have to take a call of consolidating the cities. But back then, my agenda was to make more people aware about the brand, because I was in the business of building the brand. I used to commute back then by train to my home. And I clearly remember back then, logistic was not very strong. There was a train called Prasanti Express, where in the AC chambers, there will be a caretaker. And that caretaker will have a small place where he will be keeping all the pillows and the blankets. Once all the traveler comes, that place becomes vacant. And I used to travel through that because I was not having enough money to book my tickets in advance or planning. There was no planning. So I used to book
a ticket. Didn't the TT came and kick you out?
No. Once or twice that has happened, but 5-6 times I have gone freely. And that gave me the idea of commuting my products through that channel. Because back then I did not have the understanding of how to do logistic in a right way. And the logistic from Bangalore to Bhubaneswar was not established through cold partners. So train was the only way. But in train also, I did not have the understanding whether my products will be safely taken, because back then frozen material or food materials were not in a popular channel, was not being taken. So I used to give some money to that guy and ask him to commute the product back then. So when you do an outlet which is almost 1800 kilometer apart, remotely managing a franchise makes you learn a lot of things.
So this was a crazy time in Biraj's life, and you'll hear more about how he was literally airlifting lettuce across different cities in just a sec. But here's the thing. If Biraja had just used this video sponsor, Explorex, then he could have actually monitored his Bhubaneswar franchised restaurant from the comfort of his smartphone in Bengaluru. Explorex's flagship platform, Bridge, is a full-stack operating system that helps you to manage your entire restaurant business. And it doesn't matter how many locations you have or how many cities you're in, Bridge puts you in God mode, giving you real-time data points on all of your locations, like overall sales, total procurements and consumptions, and managing staff and access. Explorex is working with more than 1,000 restaurants across 15 cities in India. And so if you think that Bridge might be a good fit for you and your restaurant, then click on the link in the description down below to learn more. All right, now on with the podcast.
Sorry, I was actually imagining that you would have sourced ingredients locally in Bhubaneswar. You're already in, even in Bengaluru, you're going to Namdari's to get lettuce, right? I'm guessing in Bhubaneswar, there's nothing. Like there's no Namdari's over there.
Lettuce used to be airlifted.
Wow.
Back then. I used to pay double the charge of lettuce what I was paying in Bangalore.
Wow.
And without lettuce, if you give a burger, it has no definition. You are no different from your competitor or the market. So I did not want to give a substandard product to my consumer. Only bread was locally baked, sauces, patties, and lettuce, gherkins. Gherkins was available. All these things were going through a transport way.
That's wild.
Yep, that's wild. I was losing money on every burger that was sold there for the cause of building a brand.
Were you panicking at all? Like, was there any part of you that was like, this is not working and I'm losing money, I'm burning money, I don't have a lot of money, I'm still basically just a fresher. This is 2012. I'm not sure if you've gotten a promotion at that point or not. I'm guessing you're going after work, working in the stall. They're probably like, oh, this guy is really tired all the time. Like he looks burnt out.
I just can't imagine that you were like sort of thrilled about the direction, even though you had expanded, which was cool, but like, this doesn't sound very sustainable.
You are right. I believe for the 5 years, every single morning that I wake up, I used to think, how do I clear my dues the same day? Because I will be getting 30 to 40 calls from my vendors to clear the dues. I was so thick-skinned to have that type of adverse condition back then, that the only goal was to establish Biggies as a brand. For me, at that point of time, the core responsibilities were brand building, product building, and making it more popular. A brand is never a brand until and unless it reaches to a lot of people. So, fortunately or unfortunately, I'm not able to convey the strength that I was having back then, the mental strength of being a mad guy behind making Biggies logo from a logo to a brand, that I was in a debt of, at one point of time, I was in a debt of back then 18 to 20 lakhs. I used to scroll my mobile and see which friend can give me 5,000 or 10,000 rupees. Because at that point of that 5,000 can save my company or the brand. So maybe I was favored by a little bit of luck that I survived those 5 years. And those 5 years are the time where 99.9% of businesses die. And after I was 13 to 14 outlets, I believe the conviction of people towards the brand in terms of a consumer of a franchise was very clear. And I clearly remember I got engaged in 2016. At that point of time, I did not have the money to buy a blazer for a suit. So I take a friend's credit card to buy it. I got engaged in August or September. I don't recall the month.
Just don't let your wife watch this.
I know the marriage debt. Within 3 months, my marriage was there. Within that 3 months, all my debts were clear. How? Because I got a master franchise for a territory. I got 3-4 franchises signed up. And the complete debt is clear. I'm debt-free by my marriage. So I believe it's the continued effort or the what you said, I'm not getting the right word. It's like the conviction about the concept that the luck will favor you.
Yeah.
It's not about always the luck. It's about the conviction on the concept of yours. If it is there, then only luck plays a vital role.
Increasing the surface area of luck.
Maybe. Yep. Maybe. Yeah. Yes. You got it right.
Yeah. Okay, so you've, again, going back to 2012, so you've got two locations in two different cities.
Yeah.
You make the decision, or you give the green light to a continuation in this direction rather than sort of bringing things back to Bengaluru. You're like, no, we're going to expand again to a new city, Raipur. And the franchise owner of this location, I think, was actually one of your customers, right? Someone who had tried Biggies and really liked it.
He's a vegetarian guy. His name is Sandeep. Both my co-founders are vegetarian, Sandeep and Avilas.
What? Were you selling veg patties at that time?
We used to sell.
Okay.
We used to sell veg patties. But he had seen the crowd in my Bhubaneswar outlet. So in Bhubaneswar, probably people used to travel 200 kilometers to try our burgers.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I thought because burgers don't exist there, people would have been confused and not, it wouldn't be that popular.
No. That gave me the limelight in the city. That gave me the strength to run another year without money. Because what happens when a lot of people recognize you, okay, fine, this is your brand, then you hold that responsibility to continue with the brand. You cannot go back. Though in my job, I had opportunities of on-site and other things which were exciting back then, not today. I chose to be with Biggies because I was synonym to Biggies. And I was carrying the pride of being associated with the concept. It was like a baby to me. How can I discard it? So Sandeep sees the queue in my store in Bhubaneswar when he was in Bhubaneswar. And then he calls me from Pune that that time he was staying in Pune. I want a franchise of yours in Pune or Raipur. Then I tell Pune is very far for me to operate. Let's do it in Raipur. So he is convinced about the concept. So he takes the franchise in Raipur. And simultaneously, I sell my first outlet to Avilas, who is from Karnataka. Both of them are vegetarian. Both of them are franchises. And at a very similar point of time, when they see the brand is growing, the products are consistent, and it looks like to be a convincing opportunity, we three discuss and I onboard both of them as a co-founder to the concept. And today, they are my co-founders. And Avilas takes care of operations, Sandeep takes care of franchising, and I take care of my product, which is my core role.
Wow. Yeah. This was, 2015, 16?
So 2013 is when Raipur opens. 2013 to 2015 it runs. 2015 is when we discuss, let's become partners. So I have always been a firm believer of people and their strength. So the way my journey was, I was not keen on working with an IT company. I always wanted to migrate from a working class to a business class, whether it is low revenue business or a high revenue business, that is irrespective. But I wanted to have that basic DNA of business into my family. So like me, there are millions of people in India who wants to start something of their own. So it was not only a brand or money. It was about a journey of a middle-class society people, working-class society people to a entrepreneurship journey. So I think that is highly required in India with such a great population or with such a great potential of future. We need a lot of entrepreneurs to be born.
Yeah.
And it is a social responsibility of every entrepreneur to build buddy entrepreneurs who will be the future of the country.
Absolutely.
So franchising for me was not just selling franchising or just giving, just collecting the royalty out of it, but to build a buddy entrepreneur who can be an integral part of your system in future and who can be a flag bearer of your brand and own it in his territory. So that was a clear-cut direction that we wanted to be, and today we are on that route.
Absolutely, yeah. I think that's you're a great example of someone who, I mean, you kind of jumped that gap there. You went from employee to employer very quickly, right. But I think franchise owners, it's sort of like the middle ground, right? You're not fully starting something of your own and becoming like a,
yes.
You know, but at the same time, it's a stepping stone to getting to that point.
True.
How did you guys go about setting up these franchises? I think the first one, right, it's your brother's friend. You have a bit more, you have that rapport, right? Second one, same thing. It's someone that you kind of know a little bit. But as you start to expand, you know, it can become a challenge to find the right people and to say yes to the right people and also to say no to people that you think might not be a good fit.
True. I believe the induction of franchise to Biggie's Burger happened through a customer in Bangalore. I remember 2011 starting. A regular customer is there who comes and asks, Biraz, where did you take the franchise? Can you give the number of the company? I want to take a franchise. I tell, no, it's my own brand. Then he says, no, you're joking. You have taken a franchise, right? So then I knew what is franchising, but then I understand, okay, franchising also is a route to expand. So when the brand doesn't have lot many outlets, you have one, two outlets, it is always getting the people convinced about your vision and a concept. And they will always find opportunities to make it a financial benefit to them. And that's okay. You are establishing your brand. They are just earning from the store. So initial days, primarily, we had to sell franchises. We had to tell people that we are a convincing model. Invest on us. But I believe from last 2-3 years, we have been recognized as a respected F&B franchise concept in the country. And we have a decent flow of franchises where we do not want to have a one-to-one ratio of franchise to stores. Rather, we are working towards making a 1-to-4 or 1-to-5 ratio of franchise towards stores. So at this point of time, primarily, if I have to give example, our franchise portfolio has a mix of young guys at 21, 22 years old, just like me, who wanted right after education to do something on their own. We have army veterans, we have housewives who are involved into it. Currently, we have 67 to 68 franchises onboarded who own 118 to 120 outlets. Now, out of them, probably 20 plus are full-time into Biggie's Burger. So there are some franchises who come from automobile background. There are some franchises who are from real estate, who are from their second generation of business, where they do not want to be involved into the traditional businesses. They want a newest business. So at this point of time, I have a very, very strong mix of franchises. And we have an ecosystem where franchises are growing along with the brand. I believe at this point of time, the association of a franchise is being very carefully taken, where the conviction on the financial return and the brand is there. And we do a proper risk assessment of the franchise's investment and convey what are the risk parameters that are possible in the journey. So that gives us a clarity. Earlier, maybe we also were not very aware of how the journey would be. But today, after operating 120 franchises, we know how and what responses will come from the store. So we very clearly convey, and I believe franchising is all about trust and giving clarity on the financial journey.
Now, one thing that's really interesting that I've noticed about the Indian market is that the vegetarian side of things is really important, right? If you don't have any veg offerings, it's not so much that people will sort of shrug their shoulders and go to the next place. Like, they'll actually be genuinely upset, right? Like, why is there no veg option? And you guys actually, I think, do a lot of your business is vegetarian burgers, right?
Yep.
I also know, though, that you at one point, I don't think you offer these anymore, but at one point you were selling hot dogs as well. So, and these were veg hot dogs.
Yep.
Tell me, I mean, was that, I can't imagine that it was something that you could source from the Indian market. Like, hot dogs are a very niche,
right,
uncommon product, right?
So back in 2013, when my Raipur outlet opened, Raipur is Hindi heartland, center of India, where vegetarian population is too high. Non-vegetarian population is 20-25%, 75% of that city. That the consumer that we are getting was vegetarian. So we had a product, hot dogs, and as everyone thinks hot dog is a non-veg product, we had a non-veg hot dog, chicken hot dog. But the customer started complaining, why you have a chicken hot dog, why not a veg hot dog? And then my franchise, who is my co-founder today, Sandeep, he tells me, you have to give me veg hot dog. I have told you that it's a vegetarian market, you have to be prepared for the market, and I need a veg hot dog. So back then in India, there was no one who was manufacturing veg hot dogs sort of thing. There was no concept of veg sausages. So I do my research and I find someone in Malaysia is preparing that, which is the closest from India. There is nowhere in Asia other than Malaysia, which is closer to me. Then I contact them and I get that product in India, which I have to sell to my franchisee at a cost, because I have promised him a food cost. I cannot go beyond that. Where I was getting the landing cost was 1200 rupees. I had to bill him 340 rupees and take a hit of 700 rupees, 900 rupees approximately per kilo for the continued amount of time because of the commitment that was done to the franchise. So then I ran that product for 3-4 years and I started locally manufacturing with a manufacturer when the volume increased. So as we are a franchisable concept, our commitment and words have to play the vital role. So if you commit that, you have to deliver a food cost. If anything changes, then the whole dynamics changes. So as we are into the business of building a brand, all the burn has to come to us, and whatever is committed to the franchise has to be delivered. And that is one key strength of the concept or of our brand or our DNA when we do business. If we commit the franchise of X, anything goes beyond, we take the hit and we transfer X minus to them. Yeah.
That's wild. I think it shows your commitment to meeting the expectations of your customers, where if it was me, I'd just remove hot dogs from the menu. I'd say, well, if you guys want a veg hot dog, you're complaining about it, how about we just have no hot dogs, right? But you're like, no.
I think that was challenging. That gave me a good learning. Let's say on the course, I would have lost 2 lakh rupees on the whole supply chain of that product. But I think my learning was much more than that. I understood the veg consumers. I understood how to do logistics from Malaysia. So what is the veg sauces? Was a new concept to me. So there was quite interesting learning out of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Seems like it was working out for you.
It was working out. But over a period of time, when we scaled up, when we changed our model from a kiosk to an express to a cafe model, so generally what happens when a brand grows, the menu shrinks because you cannot do everything at once. So we took a very conscious call that we want to be known as a grilled burger chain in the country. Hot dog as a product is contradicting a lot to when the vision of grilled burger is being placed. And it is not a common habit in India to consume hot dog. Today also it's a foreign product. It is not. It has not been indigenous in the country. So we took a conscious call in probably 2019 to remove and shrink down our menu to make it a smaller menu.
Okay. And you said 2019. So 2019. How are things? I mean, you guys had expanded at this point. How many cities were you in 2019?
2019, I remember we had 36 outlets. At that point of time also, so typically it's all about as we are supplying from Bangalore to Bhubaneswar, whatever the cities in between, we tried to expand because it will be easy for us to do logistics. So we were there in Andhra Pradesh, Hyderabad, Orissa, Jharkhand and Bangalore. These were the places we were there. We were scattered with 37 stores. The brand growth was there. We were having a month-on-month or year-on-year growth at a 2x at that point of time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was the business profitable at this point as well?
At that point of time, operationally, store level were profitable. But at the corporate level, we were burning money. We were investing the franchise fee. So when you collect a franchise fee, it is paid for 60 months. They pay you a franchise fee for 5 to 6 years. But we used to take that into account on the same month to survive. And that's okay. That's okay. But at the end of the day, we have to service the franchise for the whole tenure. We used to do that. Yeah.
Wow. That's a bit of a different strategy from what, you know, a lot of the people that we have on this podcast are startup founders, right? And so they raise money from VCs, yeah, angel investors. But were you guys doing that at all? Or was it just the initial investment from your two co-founders and obviously your own personal investment in the early days and then just these funds from franchisees?
So I believe till 2022, which is last year, we had not diluted anything. 100% of the companies was with us. We felt like not diluting our equity at an early stage for a smaller valuation. So our whole and sole agenda was to make it a sizable company. Then we go for fundraising. At that point of time, when our basics are correct, our unit economics at the store level are correct, our brand is established, and our only job is expansion or marketing, I believe that is the time when fund is required. And we felt 2022 was the right time where we have our basics, SOPs, product, brand building activity, or the team is set. And now is when we need foreign knowledge or mentors, and we need expansion of marketing. Then we took the fund.
Yeah.
So till 2022, we were self-surviving.
Yeah. Yeah, let's put a pin in that because I want to get back to that. But beginning of 2020 is when the pandemic hits. Yeah. How much of your business at that point was online sales through these restaurant delivery platforms, Swiggy, Zomato, and how much of it was dine-in?
So pre-pandemic, 20% was online, 80%. We have designed our concept to be more of walk-in sales. If you come to our stores are large, 700 to 1,000 square feet average. We spend a good amount of capex to give a good ambience. So we primarily want a ambience-oriented F&B QSR chain. So our focus was not very strong on online delivery. Thanks to COVID, that it gave us the opportunity to unveil the hidden strength of our product when it comes to online delivery. I believe February was a bad month when COVID first lockdown happened. But by March, by May, we were almost at 60% of our net revenue through deliveries only. So I believe that COVID period helped us to streamline things, which we could not have done in 10 years. And for us, it was a phenomenal period where optimization, maximum utilization, effectiveness, or realizing your strength, which are gray. These were the activities that, as a team, we are doing. We used to interview each and every team member for hours together to understand what direction they want, because we had a lot of free time. And that was the time given by the universe to relook into your strength and weaknesses and segregate them and create your strategy for the next years. I believe post-pandemic, our growth has been, I still remember we used to sell 20,000-25,000 burgers a month. Today we are selling 2 lakh burgers a month, which is almost 8x, 9x. And that is possible because we had utilized pandemic period to work on our strength and find out what are the weaknesses and how to come through that.
Wow.
Yeah.
After the pandemic, you figured out a lot of things about your business that you didn't know before COVID-19.
Mostly like during pandemic, it was about survival of the fittest, I believe. It was about whoever had the capital, whoever had the runaway, they were surviving. We are not a funded company. We were surviving every month. We had to earn to survive for the month. Pandemic taught us how to survive without external money. Whatever you are generating, how to be highly optimized, how to be highly productive, how to do more things with less gadgets or less equipment. And I believe optimization, it was a period where the whole company got into the cycle of optimization, and the results were very clear. I have never imagined to grow beyond 4x in a year. But today, when I go back Q1 of 2022 to Q1 of 2023, we are already in terms of burgers, we are at a 9x growth. And I'm looking forward to keep the momentum in the coming years.
Yeah. But as you keep that momentum going, as you keep expanding, I think it becomes more and more challenging, right? Oversight. There are 3 co-founders, so yeah. You guys are able to spread yourselves out a little bit more than if it's just you, right? And you're trying to sort of have a bird's eye perspective on all of these different locations, right? And making sure that the consistency is there, the productivity from the employees, the revenue, everything is moving smoothly. Yeah. Has that been a challenge at all as you expand?
I believe we have spent a good amount of time. A lot of people say you started in 2020. When we are 2011, today is 2023, it's 13 years. In 13 years, a lot of people, in their eyes, in their prospect, we are a successful brand. In someone's prospect, we are not successful. But it is about the self-satisfaction that I and my co-founder get, that we feel we are happy with what we have got. And we are content with what knowledge or what understanding of F&B business that we have got. So today, let's say we have started another brand of ours called Big Guys Wingery. And every brand has to do R&D. During pandemic, every brand started cloud brands. A lot of them are SAT. So let's say Big Guys, I started in 2020. The work was started during pandemic. And today, we foresee where Biggies is. At that same position of 100 outlets or 118 outlets, Big Guys will be there in next 2 years. And why we can so confidently tell this? Because of the hard-learned experience that we have gone through. I believe as my co-founders, as a team, I'm too lucky and too happy and too content with whatever I have today. That's not a switch that you can do. On a click, you will get. It is a process, and that takes time. And for some people, it may take milliseconds, microseconds. For me, it has taken 10 years. That's okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, it's difficult to set up the infrastructure for scale, right? But once you figure that out for yourself and also for your co-founders and whatever, the people at the top, right? Once everyone knows how to sort of replicate that model with your one business, Biggies, then I think it's just a matter of sort of copying and pasting that into a new a new brand, right?
I would say like today, 99% of our effort is on Biggies. At some point, what happens is you get to get into a hobby. You watch movies or you watch cricket. Our hobbies were not similar.
So setting up another business.
So we thought of setting up another brand as a trial. And Biggies has so much of work today. Let's say we are 118. We look forward to make it a 1,000 crore brand in 5 years, which will be taking us 10x in 4 to 5 years. So I believe our engagement, our basic benchmarks or the basic SOPs or the basic attributes of going there are set. We just need new brands and wherever our weaknesses are and achieve the goal.
Yeah.
So we are confident.
What is that? What does that path look like? To you said 1,000 crore, right? Is it pan India expansion, being everywhere across the country? Is it global expansion? What are you imagining here?
At this point of time, though we have some opportunities globally beyond India, but at this point of time, I believe the whole world is eyeing at India, and we want to leverage the next 5 years where the CAGR is projected to be 28 to 30%. I do not think any country has that type of CAGR when it comes to F&B and specific to burger. So at this point of time, I believe I'm not, as a company, we are not eyeing at expansion beyond India, because I feel India has so much of opportunity that we can establish 3,000 to 4,000 outlets only in India. And for making the company a 1,000 crore company, we just need 600 to 700 stores. So for this checkpoint or for this goal or vision of ours, I think I don't want to defocus anywhere from our core strength of demograph. But yes, if any good opportunity comes from other places where experienced F&B operators wants us to expand with the right amount of investment, we would consider them. But that's not on the roadmap.
Sure.
Yep.
Yeah, maybe not in the next 5 years at least. Because I know at the beginning of the conversation, you were talking about how most of the successful global QSR companies are based in the US, right? Yep. McDonald's, KFC, Domino's, et cetera. Mm. Whereas India, at least at the moment, as far as I'm aware, there really aren't that many, if any. I'm not aware of any.
There are, I believe, let's say, Haldiram, or Paradise Biryani, or Dindigul Thalapakatte. So we have brands which are indigenous to our products. We do not have. So Indians today are consuming burgers. We have to accept it. Are consuming pizzas. From where are they consuming is the question. Are they consuming from Indian brands or they are consuming from US brand? They will keep on consuming, and this number is going to increase because of the habit of eating outside has increased. So there are no Indian brand today where the prime focus is on building an Indian US product or US QSR chain, because of whatever the reason may be, our consumption of pizzas and biryani are more or less the same, and biryani is indigenous product where we have Indian brands. We do not expect a US brand to make biryani and feed us, but I think I envision to create an Indian global QSR chain, which has a strength on US products at this point of time.
Wow. Yeah. At some point, you've been at this now for more than a decade. A lot of people, I think, start looking at, is there a way for me to just kind of take a break, right? Or maybe stop altogether, retire, right? At this point, the business is successful enough that you could potentially exit, right? You could be acquired. There's a lot of these huge F&B brands that probably would be interested in buying Biggies, or going the IPO route as well, right? Have you ever thought about either one of those, or is it just sort of like you're still in?
I believe I'm too young to think about that.
You still got energy.
I have got good amount of energy at this point of time. For the next 5 years, we have never thought of this prospects at all. So we would like to continue whatever you are doing, and we would like to achieve the 500 CR, 1,000 CR benchmark of a brand. I think those are the two objectives of the whole team today. Other aspects we have never thought of. Though we have been approached, but we have never taken that the amount of effort that we have put in 10 years, we do not want to dilute them with 100 crores or 200 crores. We definitely are looking towards a bigger number.
1,000 CR plus outcome.
Yeah, at least. at least.
That was Biraja Raut, founder of Biggie's Burger. And by the way, you might have noticed the emphasis on big, biggies, big guys. And I actually asked Biraja about this, and he told me that the letter B is actually very significant to him.
Burger, as a product, everyone likes big burgers. So it was by fortune that my name starts with B. Bangalore was B, Burger was B, Bhubaneswar was B. So I was very convinced that my brand has to start with B. And I, by person, I was fond of having big size burgers. Either I can finish it or not, but I wanted my burger to look big, juicy and meaty. So big was the name that was revolving when I was creating the brand name. So from big, I thought Biggie's Burger will be a good name. And big guys, again, when I created Biggie's, this brand name also was the second option in my list. But I found Biggie's to be a more prominent brand name.
Thank you so much for watching or listening to the podcast this week, and I'll catch you in the next one.